In the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen. Brothers and sisters, the Incarnation is such a great and awesome, incredible thing that we speak of it in many different ways in the Scriptures. It is truly the cataclysmic event of all time. And we should feel it in everything we do. If you're a Christian, then the Incarnation of the God-man must be deeply in your heart. It must motivate everything you do. The epistle speaks of it. And the gospel speaks of it today. The gospel is about the Incarnation. We say it always two Sundays before Nativity. The Sunday of the forefathers. The forefathers meaning those that were the ones who, in the gospel say, were the ones that had bidden those about the supper. In other words, the prophets and all of the holy ones from the ages. Not necessarily those that were related to Christ by blood, right? Because he was of the line of David. So some were related to him and some were not. But David, of course, and Solomon and the rest. But there are many of the great prophets that, of course, were of other tribes and were not related to Jesus Christ by blood, by bloodline. So we're celebrating, remembering those forefathers. And the gospel today is mentioning their work. Because the great supper that the man wants to put on is the Incarnation. And the Incarnation was spoken about from the very beginning. From the very beginning of Genesis, the Incarnation was spoken about. And the prophets through the ages spoke about it in sort of a dark way, a difficult way to understand. But all things become clear with the coming of the God-man Jesus Christ. So, they spoke of the Incarnation over and over again. And this man who made the supper, of course, is the Father. The Father who sent His Son. His Son who was equal to Him in all ways and would be willing to humble Himself so that our nature could be fundamentally changed. That is what the Incarnation did. It changed our nature so that now we're capable of having eternal life. Capable of doing good. Now, there are several things in this story that are rather striking. The results when he sent out his slaves, that is, the angels and those that preach and those that teach, to tell them that the supper is ready. Now, a supper is a late meal. In the South, dinner is what we in the North would call lunch. Supper is the late meal, the last meal of the day. At the proper time, after all the preparation had been done, that was the supper time. That was the time for the God-man Jesus Christ to become incarnate of a virgin and to show us how to live and to live in the way that He showed us and make us capable of living in that way. So, originally, the God-man Jesus Christ came to the Jews. To the Jew first and then to the Greek. And so, He came and preached and teached and taught. And what happened? Most people rejected Him. And the gospel shows these three main ways that people reject the God-man Jesus Christ. They're all rather, really mundane in comparison to God. So one says, I bought a piece of ground, so I got to go see it. This is indicating just being earthy. Just being thinking about just mundane things. Just looking down. Not thinking of the eternal. I'd say the majority of people live in this way. And if we are honest with ourselves, we will see we live in this way too. Hopefully not all the time. But many people, ourselves included, live just day to day. Just not really thinking of anything except just day to day. So that is the piece of ground. And that sin, or constellation of sins, will claim many souls, including many that call themselves Orthodox. When you let the mundane get in the way of you being a Christian, then you're the one who's bought the piece of ground and is saying to the Lord, no, I can't come to the supper. I've got to go and see my ground. And then another one says, I bought 5 yoke of oxen, denoting the 5 senses. That is pleasure. Many people are wrapped in with the pleasures of life. Whether they be sensual pleasures that your senses can feel, or whether they be pleasures such as pride and ambition and vanity and all the rest. And then there is the one who said, I just married a wife, so I can't come. And this is playing actually on the Jewish tradition that when a man married for a year, he was exempt from military service. And he could stay home with his wife. Well, this denotes sins that are the hot sins, the sins of lust and of anger and of all those sorts of sins that really consume a person. And so these 3 things together, in different amounts, in different people, keep us far from God. Now the real striking thing about this gospel is not how people turned away from God, but that God, even though people turned away from Him, kept on pursuing us. And then when the servants came back and showed to the Lord that so many people didn't want to come, what does the gospel say? He says, go out quickly. That's a big word in this gospel. Go out quickly. Into the streets and the lanes of the city. And gather up the poor and the maimed and the blind. This word quickly should resound in your hearts. Everything you do should be, as the gospel says, quickly. I'm not talking about how fast you do things. I'm talking about the urgency in your heart to do things. Every day, it is urgent that you follow the gospel. It is urgent that you pray. It is urgent that you follow the commandments and that you cleave to the Lord Jesus Christ. This is a matter of life and death. And that is what this word quickly means. It's not there by happenstance. We must live our life like this. You must have urgency in your life. You know, you could be a great sinner, but if you are desiring to change and ordering your life so that you can change, then you will change. But most of us live our life slowly, not quickly, without urgency. We pray when we pray, and when we don't pray, well, I guess we didn't pray. We fast, or sometimes we don't fast. We come to church, sometimes we don't go to church. Sometimes we watch our language, our thoughts. Other times, we're tired, or perhaps there's some overriding reason why we think we shouldn't. We don't live with urgency. If there is one word that you take from this gospel, take this word quickly and beg the Lord that you live in this way. Because this is the way to be saved. All of the saints lived in this way. They lived with urgency in their life. And we must. The other ones, the ones that had the ground, or the wife, or the oxen, this word does not apply to them. They might have in some way followed God. I mean, nobody is totally evil. But they didn't love God with urgency. The Lord speaks of this all the time. You can see this word quickly, that is the idea of this word, all throughout the gospel. Him who will, let him take up his cross and follow me. That is the person who is living according to this meaning of the word quickly. He who loves his father or his mother more than me is not worthy of me. Again. Over and over again, the gospel says things that we must interpret with urgency. They are about us, and they are about life or death. And they are all that is important. Nothing else matters. But you can see that most people in this parable, of course, it didn't matter that much to them. But the Lord still pursues. And He says, go out quickly into the lanes and the streets of the city and gather everybody up. And there was still room. So he says, go out into the highways and the hedges, farther away from the city. These two things together show that the incarnation covers every sin, every human condition there is, whether it be in the streets and the lanes, that is, shall we say, not so far away from God, if there is such a thing, or whether it be in the highways and the hedges, far away from God. Any sin, any condition, any way of life, any weakness, the incarnation makes us capable to be healed of it. That's what the meaning is of these going to these different places, close and further away. And we should see ourselves in the streets and the lanes of the city, and also in the highways and the hedges. We should realize that we were formerly afar off, but now we are brought near, as the Apostle says. We should feel this deeply in our hearts. You know, if you feel this with all of your being, you will be saved. Oh yes, you have sins. There are things, maybe habits that you can't get over. There are things that you can't stop doing or things that you can't start doing. But if in your heart you know that you were redeemed and you didn't deserve it, and that God abides in you by His great mercy, and you want in some way to be worthy of it, then you'll be saved. But only if you live life with this idea of being quick. Also, another word that you must take from this gospel. The two most important words. Quickly, and then when the Lord says, compel them to come in. We believe in the free will of man. It doesn't mean that anyone is being forced to come into the supper, that is, to become a Christian, to be saved. We don't believe that. God doesn't do that. But this compelling is from living life urgently. This compelling is from feeling deeply the incarnation in your soul. Feeling deeply your own condition and your own weakness, and knowing that God has come to save you. And having this feeling in you forces you to do things. Forces you to love others you don't want to love. Forces you to follow the commandments. Forces you to become holy. Because there's this inner force within you from the knowledge that God died for you. That's what this word compel means. We must feel it with all of our hearts. If you don't feel it, if you don't feel that God has come to save you and feel a deep desire to be worthy of what He has done, then you're not a Christian. It doesn't matter what you do or say, or what sins you have, or what virtues you have. If you don't feel deeply your condition and know that God has come to alleviate you of your suffering, and that it is the only path, and have a sense of thankfulness welling up within you that forces you to do things that even maybe you don't want to do, that your sins tell you, I should hate this person for what they've done to me. But there is this thing in your heart, this love in your heart, that forces out that hate. That is what this word compel means. And we must all have this in our heart. There's a reason why this gospel is said two Sundays before Nativity. Later we'll have the Nativity spoken of exactly, the actual events. But the events mean nothing if there is not in our heart this great knowledge of what God has done for us and this great desire welling up within us to be Christian. That's what this word compel means. And all those who had the oxen and the lands and the wives, they weren't compelled because they didn't love God very much. Work on loving God, and then everything else will happen. Love God with all of your heart and all of your soul and all of your mind. And then you will become pure. There has to be this thing forcing you to do good works. inside. It has to be your own will that forces you. God won't force you. God will assist your will. He will strengthen your will, but He will not create your will. He will not manipulate your will. So this is what this parable is telling us today. This parable is telling us how we will be saved. Not by the event of the God-man, the incarnation, and His preaching, and His passion, and crucifixion, and resurrection, and ascension. That by itself cannot save us. What saves us is when we take these things and hold them in our hearts and don't let go. And when they force us to change, because we want to change so much. That's what this parable is telling us today. That's real Christianity. And that's why it's said really even 2 Sundays before. Because the nativity must be in our hearts. It's not stories about angels and about mangers and about magi. It is about the human heart being changed. Try to remember what God has done for you. Every day of your life, every moment. Let this knowledge compel you to do good. The apostle gives the things we should do in the epistle today. And all of the reasons why we would do these things is because we have a compelling within us. From the knowledge of what God has done for us. Don't ever forget it. It's all that's important in this world. May God help us to be compelled to love Him and to become purified and to be with Him.